Have no fear.
Logan Gillespie is here. Welcome back. It is Ben and Woods. Padres making an IL move yesterday before the game, placing Yu Darvish on the 15-day injured list. Remember the change they made a couple of years ago? Position players can go on the 10-day IL now, but pitchers have to go on the 15-day IL.
Our buddy Mark tweeted me yesterday and said, does this seem right for a strained neck? And I was like, they don't have a choice. Right, you got to go. It's retroactive to the 15th, so he'll
miss essentially three starts.
Is it three?
Pretty much, yeah. Three starts coming up. And
it's a bummer.
Said he was dealing with it in the game against the Dodgers on Sunday. Just had the one bad inning, gave up the home run to Max Muncy, the three runs, but said it was an issue. Padres made a move. There was no hints like it was coming. It was a total out of the blue surprise. But thanks to our extensive Logan Gillespie coverage in spring training, you know what you're getting with Logan Gillespie.
Totally. Totally.
Did you remember him at all?
I didn't. I really did not,
I didn't either.
And I will be honest.
You guys don't remember?
I said to Ben,
these prospects we're talking about, all right, here are the pitchers they're going to bring up.
Well, remember, I was very ill, Paulie. Maybe we had covered it when I wasn't feeling well there towards the end.
A lot of names. I mean, we had a lot of names. Pitching names on our radar spring.
He was not.
I mean, there's, you
mentioned.
Know, they sent down Randy Vasquez and other relievers.
Estrada.
Yeah. Alec Jacobs down there. If you're bringing up a reliever, lots of names were discussed. There's your up and coming prospects. There's Robbie Snelling. There's Adam Mazur. There's Jackson Wolfe down there that they got back. I don't remember the name Logan Gillespie at all.
I really.
Which is a bit concerning.
It is. A little concerning. And again, like, it's one of those things where you're like, nobody knows anything. You can speculate all you want. We get paid to sit here and talk about
it. I thought, well, maybe he's the hottest guy in AAA. He must have like a zero ERA. No.
It's about nine.
No,
ERA.
It's like nine.
Yeah. Well, it means nothing down there.
He's on the 40, man. Right. That helps.
That helps.
I don't know. So they did not need to call up a starter yet.
Right.
For Yu Darvish until Saturday, at least.
Ben and I totally thought yesterday. Was he with the team yesterday? I'm not sure.
I would assume he was.
But we speculated. Oh, well, this is an easy call. They're going to grind him for, you know,
if they need a long reliever or something like that.
They're going to grind him for 70 pitches.
He's the guy who wears it.
Yeah, he wears it.
And then he goes right back down.
Yep.
You need a pitcher like that.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, there's all kinds of things at play, I'm sure, that no one will ever tell you exactly why they did it. But if, you know, you look at it, when is the next time we need to figure
Saturday?
Saturday. So
it's coming now. You could, with the day off, move up Joe Musgrove and Dylan Cease, and they could pitch on 4 days rest, and you wouldn't need anyone until I think next Monday in Colorado. So if you wanted, like, Johnny Brito, who pitched on Monday, or Tuesday?
Yeah, a couple innings.
If you wanted to give him an extra couple days and make him start and see if he could go a little longer, you could do that. Or you just go a bullpen day on Saturday. Or you can send Logan Gillespie down and call up an actual starting pitcher
for Colorado,
Saturday
though,
as well.
Against Toronto.
That'll be against Toronto on Saturday. So there's a number of different options. Do you have a preference of what you would like to see the Padres do for that game on Saturday against the Blue Jays where Yu Darvish would have started?
You know, honestly,
it's Friday's results. Change
probably
anything.
A little
like, you
bit.
Kind of wait.
Yeah.
And see.
If you use a ton of your bullpen on Friday,
if you get that first win though, like maybe that changes.
Who's on
things.
The bump Friday night?
Waldron.
Okay, against Toronto.
He'll give you five, maybe six.
And perfect dream. Yeah, he's going to give you five, six innings, and then you know.
Win the first game. You save Brito and Morejon, and you know they can go five or six combined together, hopefully, and get you through Saturday, and you're already one start into Yu Darvish's IL stint. Or do you call someone else up? I don't know.
So you go to Colorado on Monday.
Yeah, you have no days off next week. Four-game series.
And so that's the funny one. Is like you're not going to look past the Blue Jays, right? You're not going to. They're a good team and potentially playoff team. And you can't look past them. That being said, I'm also thinking about that set in Colorado. And who do I want to throw Joe Musgrove in Colorado against the Rockies where the slider doesn't slide as well? Do I want to throw Dylan Cease? You're going to have to.
Well, like, you play four games there.
You're going to have to use one of those
guys. You're going to have to use most of your guys when you're up there.
Do I want to put out, you know, do I want to do a bunch of bullpen days when I'm in Colorado? No, I don't. I just don't know how to manage. It's such an X factor in the season playing a four-game set in Colorado this early while you're still trying to figure out your bullpen, and now you've got injuries to worry about. So, I have no earthly idea what they're going to do, and I do think it's dependent a little bit on what happens this weekend.
I mean, even in Colorado, the Rockies have scored three or fewer runs in half of their home games this year. Hasn't exactly been a house of horrors all, you know, this season.
I mean, I don't even know why you would put it out there. It's this team in particular in Colorado. Look up the record in the last decade. It's like staggeringly bad. And we've had good teams.
It is, but this is a different team and this is a different Rockies team as well.
Okay. Just telling you. There's something in that air that just doesn't, I'm so sick to my stomach for these games next week. I'm telling you, it never is pleasurable.
And I will be as well. I totally understand. The Rockies, 0-1-0-3-2-2-0-1-1. They've been horrible. They're horrible. They have no offense.
Just wait.
They've been terrible.
Just wait.
If that's the case, then that's on the Padres.
100%.
If they can't, go in and get it done against that team, that's totally on the Padres.
Yep.
You can't just blame, oh, well, it's Colorado, it's kooky. No, I don't care where you're playing the Rockies. We've talked about this at the start of the year. You have to beat these teams. This will be your first chance against a team that is not a playoff contender. Everybody else you've played this year, at least at this point in the season, is thinking, yes, we're going to be there at the end of September. Every single team you've played some of the best teams. The Rockies are the first one you were going to play all year long that knows we're not going anywhere. They know it.
Hunter says,
you've got to go in and take at least 3 out of 4 in that series.
I personally shouldn't have nightmares about Ryan McMahon at Coors, but I do. Yeah, 100%. Knock me out, wake me up when that series is over, and please tell me that we won at least 3 out of 4 because a split in Colorado is an abject failure. But also, I would come in and go, I told you, I get it. I get it why you split with those guys.
Gotta get through the Blue Jays first.
Yes.
Need a contestant for Real or Fake as well. If you want to get online, 833-288-0973. We'll play our game in just a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. You can qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. You wanted to mention Xander Bogaerts and what kind of reception he's going to get on Friday when he returns to Petco Park, the slumping Xander Bogaerts.
You know, we talked about it yesterday on the program, and I see that it's caught a little bit of wind in the sails. A lot of people talking about it, a lot of people tweeting about it, people in the chat wanting to know, hey, should we do the exact same thing at Petco Park on Friday night for Xander's first AB that they did for Trey Turner? And we talked about it pretty at length yesterday, and I don't think so. That's my general thought when I heard about it was, it made me a little bit cringy. I hate everything though, so don't take me as the arbiter of what's right and wrong. I'm for supporting players. I'm not a big boo guy. I don't know how much that does, you know, to motivate players to be better. I do generally support people if they wear a San Diego Padres uniform, and I want them to do well. But I don't know that you guys know what my main problem is with it, that we're stealing their bit. And if it doesn't work, we look like clowns.
It's not even the same bit, though. What I don't understand is
kind of is.
Yeah, but for Trey Turner, it was his first season with the Phillies, and he was trying to get comfortable. Xander's been here an entire year now. He's not some new player you're trying to welcome and make feel comfortable in San Diego. He's been here literally 2 spring trainings, a whole season, into a second season now. This is not some unknown quantity. I'm not saying you should boo him. I don't understand the point. The reason Xander is hitting 200 with a .263 slugging percentage, a .535 OPS, and a negative 0.2 WAR it's not because San Diego has been so hard on him and he can't get comfortable here.
Yeah, I don't.
That's nothing to do with it.
You know, it works in Philly because
I don't think it really happened in Philly either. I think it was a coincidence.
It was pretty cool.
A good player in Trey Turner, who was eventually going to get hot, just happened to get hot right after
they did their
bit. This
wasn't some scrub that just turned it around and became an all-star.
No.
George DM'd me and he said, standing O for X on Friday night. Get it going on the radio. Needs to happen. I just wrote back, nah. And he said, well, as a fan, would you just ignore his poor play? Or what do you recommend us fans do to let him know we ain't going to deal with Hosmer 2.0? And I said, I'm also a fan. I said, I just yell at my TV and hope he hits his way out of it. That's what I do. I'm just like, come on. Like, when he stared at that 2-0 C shot yesterday, I lost my mind yelling at the TV, right? But I don't know that I support him. Like, here's my verbal support of Xander Bogaerts. I want him to do good. The other thing is, and Paul, you were talking about it before the show started, we don't really have a choice, man. Like, he's here, and he's here long-term.
I understand there are a lot of people out there that I don't even know that they don't like Xander Bogaerts. They don't like the contract that Xander Bogaerts was offered and accepted. And I don't know that he'll ever live up to that contract.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily his fault. Guy was offered a massive deal and he took it. But if you're that against Xander Bogaerts, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you might just be a sad 10 years for you, because like, he's here for a while.
He's gonna be here for a while. Like, there's no, and that's the tough part. It's
I'm
like,
not saying you have to like blindly root and
no, you don't
be completely positive and optimistic.
I don't either. I mean, I'm screaming at my TV yesterday.
And in comparison, since Eric Hosmer's name was brought up. Don't think that Xander feels like, hey, I don't need to do anything else. I'm doing just fine here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He knows he's struggling.
Yeah.
He's got good support in his clubhouse from his teammates and his coaches. He's either going to turn it around or he's not. But I don't think it's because he hasn't felt welcome enough from the fans here in San Diego. You can cheer him if you want.
Sure,
and
yeah.
He may turn it around. Because
I'm down to
he's historically
him.
Been a really good player, and he probably will turn it around at some point. As to Paulie's point, and he will probably never live up to the contract that he signed. He was already showing signs in Boston that the power numbers aren't quite there and playing in a much more friendly power-hitting ballpark and division than the NL West.
Well, and again, I see a lot of like this. He has a bum wrist. It's chronic. He doesn't fit in San Diego. All right. Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm a solutions guy. I also bitch a lot, but I usually have a solution, at least one that works in my head. The only solution for a guy that's underperforming 21 games in is you ride with him. Now, you don't have to hit him lead off. We're going to get in a lineup discussion. You absolutely can move him around, right? And he needs to be okay with that. He absolutely needs to be okay with that. But I don't know that I want to get behind like this grassrootsy copied Philly bit of rooting, you know, doing a standing O. Just because I'm not into the cause doesn't mean I'm an a-hole. And it doesn't mean you're wrong. You can absolutely do that. And I support him. I want him to play well. I wanted him to come through yesterday. We talked about him needing, you know, a moment. Yesterday would have been a good one, you know. A little two-run bomb there instead of just a lazy fly ball would have been really, really sick. And I hope it's coming for him. I feel like it is. You know, there's no guarantee, though. There's just nothing you can do. That toothpaste has been out of the tube for a while. And as much as we want to complain about it, we cannot jam it back in there. It's not going in. It's not going in. And having to wear that, you know, that's all we can do is hope he turns it around.
Margie in the chat says, Xander doesn't look like he likes playing here. I don't know if that's true or not, but no one likes playing poorly.
No one likes playing poorly.
And he knows that he's not producing the way he should be. We'll talk about this more coming up, obviously, and spot in the lineup as well. We'll continue that discussion. Right now, though, let's get to our Throwback Thursday game. It's time for a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Let's tell Bill what he can win today. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm in.
All right, you're a contestant today on Real or Fake, and if you can get 4 out of 7 right, we will put you into the drawing for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas for a 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and tickets to Kool and the Gang performing at the International Theater. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Fanradio.com. Here's how the game works. We will give you a category. You just have to separate the real from the fake. Woods can help you out if you'd like, and we'll see how you do. You ready to go, Bill?
All set.
All right. Since Woods just took his kids for chicken wings at Hooters last weekend, should be very helpful for today's edition of Real or Fake. I will name a wing sauce or rub flavor. You tell me if it's a real flavor available on the Hooters menu.
Ooh,
or a fake I have made up for today's game.
I got you, dog. Here we go.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Round
Sounds
number
good.
One. Real or fake Hooters chicken wing flavor. Chesapeake. Real or fake? Chesapeake.
What do you think, Wedge?
God, that's ringing a bell.
What do you think, Wedge?
It's ringing a bell for me, man, to be honest. I'm going to say real. Don't quote me.
Real.
Real.
Okay, he's real. Quoting you.
He's quoting you.
He's quoting you.
And
he is correct. Little Old Bay, Maryland, Chesapeake style. All right, that's one correct. You need three more, and you will win. Round number two. 3 Mile Island. Real or fake? Hooters chicken wing flavor. 3 Mile Island.
I'm going to use you again, Wood.
It's real.
Real. He says real.
Real.
That is correct. Yes, they bill it as Buffalo for the Stupid. Like,
Buffalo
really,
for the
really hot.
Really hot, yeah.
All right, that's two. Two for two. You are killing it here. All right, round number three. General Tso's. General Tso's.
Wood?
Fake.
Wood says fake.
Fake.
He has not led you wrong so far, Bill.
That is Did not see that.
Real.
Damn it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
All right, that's still two. We go to round number four. Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach. Real or fake chicken wing flavor?
Uh-oh.
It's real.
What?
It's so...
Real.
Yeah, they're Daytona. Is this better not be a trick question? Because there's Daytona wings 100%. I didn't see them called Daytona Beach. But they are real.
Well...
I'll stab him if this is a trick question for you, Bill.
I'm kidding.
It's real.
Yeah,
bro, sweet, hot, and grilled.
They are.
Have you had those?
You like those?
We gotta go. Right. You got you. I'm telling you, we're gonna do a show lunch at Hooters soon.
All right.
How did you gain all the weight?
We went to show lunches at Hooters many times.
All right, going well so far. All right, Bill. Hot honey, real or fake? Hot honey.
I'm going to say that's real.
You're going to say that's real.
I would say fake.
Oh, Bill, are you locked in?
Yeah.
He's locked in with real.
Oh, yes! He's got the win. Yeah.
That was all real. I got them all real.
I thought he was doing a Petco Park bit because they got the hot honey chicken sandwich.
They do, but they also have them at Hooters.
I didn't see that.
Oh, how about guava lime barbecue?
Fake.
That's fake. Carolina Gold Strike.
I think I saw Carolina on there. Real.
No, fake.
No.
It's all right. Now, Bill wins. He
guava,
is in the drawing.
By the way.
I would do guava lime. That sounded good to me.
Guava lime.
Made that one up completely.
All right.
Kind of sticky sweet, but with a tanginess.
Daytona
could be a
wings.
Chef.
The
we
Daytona
go.
Wings sound the best out of all of
Bro,
those.
Bro, they're so good. So good. All right, let's hit it.
Bill, stay on the line. Paul, they'll get your information during the break. Congratulations on a well-played game of Real or Fake.
I know we're late. We're watching the game last night. I can't remember who was playing. We were watching the end of the game, Bo and I. Behind the catcher, Hooters. He goes, does that say Hooters? I go, yeah, it says Hooters, man. Advertising works. Recognized it.
It does. All right, we'll come back with a little don't do this when we return.
I've got a do this that is
good audio.
Pretty elite audio. You guys will like this a lot.
Absolutely. All right. That's a relief pitcher, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. It's coming up next with Ben Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. Between talking about tacos, chicken wings, round table pizza coming in later, this show is hazardous to people who don't want to be hungry in the morning.
It is. It is. So is everything. Twitter, Instagram. You can't open it, and you're like, you're trying to diet or eat smart, and you open it, and you're like, I'm dead.
Food pictures.
Yeah, it just kills you. All right, I'll get us going today. One of the bigger stories that came out yesterday, Caitlin Clark doing her introductory press conference for her new team in Indiana.
Did you see the Nike deal that she's getting
deal.
An 8-figure Nike deal. And everyone's going, why is she leaving college? She's making so much money. She's not getting an 8-figure Nike deal at college. She's a pro. This is why she's going to the NBA. Even if she's getting paid pennies in the WNBA. Nike is taking good care of Caitlin Clark.
So nothing like a little bit of sexual harassment to start your career in Indianapolis, Ben. Greg Doyle, longtime columnist in Indianapolis. This happened. So just to give you a little clarity, she does the heart hands, this thing, to her family after a game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he started his press conference. He was trying to be funny at first, and he gave her the heart hands. So here's the interaction.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
Now he's doing it.
Yep.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. Okay. So, question is...
Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine is very, very...
She was so uncomfortable.
She looked so uncomfortable. She looked at him like, did this just happen? And it was so cringy, man. And so, you know, he came out hours later and tweeted that he was very sorry. And then he wrote a column about it, which, I mean, I guess that's his job.
Kinda
he's a columnist. And I read it. I read the column, and I'm pretty forgiving, but I also just went like, all right, like it's a good lesson for all of us, right? It's a good lesson to not be creeps.
Apology or not, column or not, that's a don't do this moment.
Don't do this moment for sure. And yeah, Jong says in the chat he's got a history of being super weird and creepy and inappropriate. So, not a
weird thing to say.
It's a weird thing to say. Not a good day for him. He was the main character yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know that it was meant as like a threat, like, hey, you better start giving me the hard sign or I'm going to write bad things about you, but it was cringy and awkward and not
very,
not
very
handled very well.
Comfortable.
All right, speaking of things not handled well, and we talked about this yesterday when the story came out, the Action Network, the NBA has taken swift action banning Jontae Porter for life for gambling on the NBA, and what's the details of this case, which has been developing over the last couple of weeks, really make the Shohei Ohtani thing look like a nothing burger. That was just an interpreter and getting into some deep debt. This is actual gambling on games and impacting the outcome potentially of games. Adam Silver made the announcement, and they led just a devastating case with the investigation showing that Jontae Porter would. Yeah, they'd look at basically what the over-under numbers were for, like, points and rebounds. They had, like, a specific game against the Sacramento Kings where the over-under was 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. He'd inform gamblers. They'd bet the under. He pulled himself out after, like, 3 minutes saying, I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
I'm hurt. I'm ill. I can't go on. It got pretty obvious, though. They even froze, like, one game, a guy bet $80,000 to win $1.1 million, and they go, this is not okay. And this sparked a lot of investigation. But as they've gone through, he placed bets on NBA games. He bet against his own team. I mean, everything you are told you can never do as a professional athlete, Jontae Porter got into, and he is going to suffer the consequences. Banned for life from the NBA.
Ooh.
He is eligible to apply for reinstatement in a couple of years, but...
Good luck.
That would be a long, long, long shot at this point.
I was looking it up. The AP News put out a story of other athletes to receive lifetime bans.
Yeah.
We were kicking it around before the show. I go, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, how many people have actually been banned for life in sports? And I, you know, disregard like Olympics, doping scandals and stuff like that. Yeah. The major like team sports, there really hasn't been any.
No.
There was the 1919 White Sox,
yep.
The team. There's Pete Rose. and Donald Sterling as an owner in the NBA. And that's pretty much it. Like football, they have a few guys named, like Ray Rice, for example, was suspended indefinitely. And then no team wanted him, but that he was not banned for life from the NFL.
Full ban. Like you could have signed Ray Rice had you wanted to deal with the fallout, just like Trevor Bauer. Right now, you could sign Trevor Bauer today. He's not banned.
There was Tim Donaghy, not a player, but an official. He was fired. I don't know if he's officially banned for life.
Well, I'm sure he can't ref again.
Now, people are going, this is, you know, the gambling, the websites and everything. This is a real problem. Now, it was a problem with Tim Donaghy. It was a problem with Pete Rose. Those existed
problem
long.
Problem with the White Sox in 1919.
Those existed long before. I don't think the Black Sox had, you know, FanDuel loaded on their phones.
It's always been an issue. Now, again, you know, you can always make the hypocrisy claim and say, you know, you're taking money from this. And there's some merit to it, I guess. There's some merit to it, but
it's a little hypocritical.
It's a little hypocritical, I think, you know. But I also, like, that's not going to go away. That's the thing.
I don't think it's hypocritical. I really don't. Every sports entity, including myself, has, you know, relationships with sites where you can legally play and, you know, wager money somehow on games. But it's on you as personal responsibility to know what your rules are, what your responsibilities are, and whether you can manage it or not. If we didn't let anybody do anything that harmed them, there would be no smoking, there'd be no drinking, there'd be a lot of things that just wouldn't be allowed. But as adults, we allow you to do some things that aren't necessarily always the best for you, but it's up to you to have the responsibility
and the restraint.
And the restraint to know what's okay and what's not.
Well, it's such a dumb play by him, you know. He could have made so much more money playing in the NBA. All right, I'll get us wrapped up here for doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Tampa Bay Rays, did not have a good night. Coughed it up, and one of the better post game interviews you'll hear from a closer that just blew one.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all encompassing type of suck. So. You know, we're going to try and rectify that, but for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, you know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Save the clip of him saying it's 9. I want to play it every day at 9:44. And then I also want to save the clip where he said, just like, Ben and Woods, how did your 3-hour show go yesterday? Generally sucked.
All encompassing suck.
How was your day? Just sucked. All encompassing.
If you weren't on our YouTube chat, probably play the video as well. He's almost like stand-up comedian level in terms of his dead face.
So good.
New Pete Fairbanks fans
here. I love
him. That's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. I want to talk more about Xander Bogaerts. It's definitely a hot topic right now.
Lineup
construction.
We can ask our next guest.
It's time to make a change. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Adam Jones coming up next. So we will talk about that. We'll just have Adam Jones to discuss it with us when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Just a reminder, Padres expecting large crowds this weekend when they welcome the Blue Jays to town. Very limited tickets are available for the 3-game series. You can visit Padres.com/tickets today. He was on a plane yesterday, but Adam Jones will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I would guess. Now, as a baseball player, Adam Jones did a ton of traveling, obviously, for work.
Yes.
But just in the last, like, I would say, couple of years since he's been living in Barcelona, I bet he's been on more planes and spent more time in the air than I, you, and Paul have in our entire lives combined.
Easily.
The traveling man is back here with us, Adam Jones, on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing, man?
Always good. Yeah, you're right. I was just talking to my wife, and she's planning something else.
something else is always in the works. But you know what? Yeah, you only live once. I knock on wood. I'm fortunate. I got a pension. And, yeah, I'll get to that when I have to.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, yeah, see what you can when you can. Wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. And, you know, I have really enjoyed watching Padres baseball this season. So much more already in 21 games than I did last year. Last year was such a grind, man. And you know, we've already seen more from this team in just three short weeks. AJ, really, I feel like than we saw last year. It just is a different vibe and everything else. And they're winning games. They're coming back. Yesterday was a little bit tough to swallow. Runner on third, nobody out, can't get him in. Those games stink, man. When you're on offense, your pitcher has a game like King did yesterday. What do you say to him after that game?
Hey, somebody got to buy him a nice bottle of something. Is that a thing? That's what I would do. I'd be like, man, hey, Don, because 0-3, 0-4 in that situation. I mean, nobody had a good game.
No.
So you're just like, Doug, I'm sorry, man. Here you go. Here's a nice bottle or something, or just something simple, or pat on the ass, good start, meet it next time. You know what I'm saying? But it does suck as an offense when your starter goes out there and does something like that, or anytime when your starter goes out there, gives you a great quality start, and you have an opportunity to sneak a sweep, something like that. Like it just stings, but at the same time, you won the series. Take it and go back home.
Now, did they come to you after they give up four in the first and find a way to get through five innings, and you guys, the offense comes up and scores nine runs, and you totally bail them out? Do they
buy you a bottle?
Do they buy you guys all bottles, or how's that work? Or are pitchers just super sensitive?
You know what's crazy? It's like Wade Miley, you know, just went against him. He was one of the guys that would be like, oh, man, because we had him in Baltimore, and he wasn't good in Baltimore. He's been good every place else in his career, but in Baltimore, I mean, it was bad. But he would come up to us and be like, hey, man, my bad, dog, my bad, man. And I was like, hey, at least you made it quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least you work fast. I can deal with that. But he'd always be like, hey, my bad, man, I blew it, man. And some closers, honestly, would be like that. Would just be like, oh man, it's my bad, man. I had that one in my, you know. And you know what? Hey, it's a team effort. You know, you don't want the guy to be like, hey, you know, oh well, you know, you don't want that. You want him to understand that it's a team effort, and you know, we put you in that situation. All we want you to do is do your job. It's like the kicker. It's a very, very tough job. Getting that 27th out is the hardest job, I believe, in damn near in all of sports.
No kidding.
So, you know, it goes both ways. You know, it's a mutual respect. We all want to win. So, you know, I'm there for my closer as much as the pitchers are there for us.
You know, it's funny you brought up the nice bottle, because I just saw this story yesterday that Yusei Kikuchi,
this is amazing,
who's coming to town with the Blue Jays this weekend, has this $3,000 bottle of Yamazaki Japanese whiskey. And every time he wins, he opens it up and then pours it for his teammates. And they have, that must be a nice post-game beverage right there. I've never had a $3,000 bottle of whiskey. Maybe Adam Jones has had a nice bottle of whiskey every once in a while.
My most expensive one was a Cognac Delamain Le Voyage, and it cost me $7,000 for the bottle. It came in that beautiful leather case. You have to Google it while I'm on the show. It is like absolutely beautiful. It was art. My brother mixed it one time. I smacked the hell out of him for that. Like, what do you gonna mix this for?
What did he put in it? Like Coke? Or something?
I don't remember. Coke? Or something. Yeah, maybe Coke.
Oh,
or
no,
something
no, no,
like
no, no,
that.
No. You don't mix that kind of stuff.
Ginger ale?
But in Japan, I've seen these bottles. And, you know, obviously, Kikuchi's made a lot of money. And, you know, he's probably sponsored by Suntory, who makes these expensive bottles of Yamazaki. So I wouldn't put it past him. And especially being international Toronto, you can definitely find it. And, yes, it's some good stuff. But it is straight petrol.
Hi, Adam Jones is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. We've been talking about Xander Bogaerts, who is off to a really tough start this season. He's got a negative war. He's hitting 200, no extra base power. And yesterday came up in a key situation with the go-ahead run at third base, one out, and struck out in this game. And we just are trying to wrap our head around this. The position change, could that be part of it? With what's going on with him? When you did struggle, I mean, was there things that you would blame? Like, I don't think you ever had to make that giant position change that he's kind of going from short to second this year. Could that impact a player like him at the plate at the same time?
I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's still an adjustment, and he's still getting used to everything. I mean, it's a complete change. And you can say he's a professional and all that, which he is, yes. But it's still a very, very big change for him. And, you know, again, he ain't going to make no excuse. He'll tell you, hey, I'm struggling. And that's the professionalism because he's used to having success. And to be honest with you, I'm not worried about him. To me, it's just a matter of, you know, how's he feel? How's his body feel? To me, it's the health of everybody is always the most important thing rather than what's struggling. And, you know, he's getting up there in age and he's played a lot of games. So he's got a lot of miles on his body, which is a good thing to me. But, you know, players, we tend to grind it through things that sometimes we maybe need to sit down for, or sometimes we just struggle and need to figure it out. But being a veteran and being around guys like Manny and Tatis, they obviously got somebody older, somebody younger to just keep them young, keep them loose. You got Merrill. I think that it's just a matter of time before he's just getting hot, and we're just talking about this as, you know, as it always goes, is, you know, guys struggle. And, you know, it's just a game of baseball.
It is, man. Talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning. How much do we, as the casual fan, how much do we overrate maybe lineup construction in the year of our Lord 2024? I can go both ways. I really can. There's times where I'm like, no, this is the optimal lineup. And then there's times where I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, if guys are doing their job, you know, if guys are doing their jobs, it's not an issue, right? It's only an issue if it's not working.
I mean, the thing is what is the optimal lineup nowadays? I mean, when you go to analytics, they say the best hitter should hit where? If you hit leadoff, you guys hit six. The guy at leadoff hits 60 more at bats than the next guy. The guy hitting second, you know what I mean? So it's like, do you hit your best hitter leadoff? Who's the best hitter? Who do you want to lead off? Who do you want to hit fifth? I've seen things where they, you know, some people think that for Harper, he should hit leadoff in that lineup because being he is a very aggressive hitter, but yet he walks a boatload. So he could be a great leadoff hitter, and he's going to hit 5 times a game on average. So would you want that? So hit Aaron Judge or Soto leadoff. It's what is your prototypical leadoff or your lineup? And I think it's constructed where you try to. So I think the Padres don't have the prototypical leadoff hitter. Who does anymore these days?
Yeah.
But, you know, I like speed, obviously, at top because you want the guys who in the RBI situations, you want them to get RBIs at all times. When they hit a hard ground ball, when Manny hits a hard ground ball to left field with a man on second, the guy should score. That's just, you know, the guy's in front of, that's how baseball works.
Who would you put up at the top? If you were Mike Shildt and they gave you the lineup card for the day and you know the particulars and the guys on the team, I mean, would you go Tatis? Would you go that wild Mustang in the front? Would you go Ha-Sung Kim? Would you go Jackson Merrill, the rookie with 21 games under his belt, that great bat to ball? I mean, there's a few options there. I mean, if you had the lineup card against the Blue Jays on Friday night, I don't know who they're throwing. Let's just say it's a right-hander. They're throwing a right-handed pitch.
Rodriguez.
Is he right?
You want me to give you who I want? And I'm going to say this because I love the way he plays. And I want Profar. And the Profar that I want is I want Winter Ball Series Caribe Profar.
Yeah.
That's the kind of
that's the one they've gotten so far this season.
Gotten. Yeah. They've gotten him, man. Yeah, it's another option. I completely forgot him, and he's got
because he's a switch hitter.
Yep.
He's a switch hitter. He has some speed. He can run the bases. But I want the winter ball him. I want to bring back like that Eric Ibar type player. And I think he can do that. Obviously, he's not the infielder, but as an offensive guy, he can do all those things that Eric Ibar did. That is annoying as hell. But it was when he's on your team, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So
it's a good call.
So yeah, he sees a lot of pitches. He walks. The only reason why I think Profar is valuable down lower is because he's a switch hitter and they have limited left-handers. He helps break up the lineup wherever they put him. I'd go with Ha-Sung Kim. He sees more pitches than almost anyone in baseball. He's got that energy. He steals bases when he gets on. And I know that the metrics and the analytics, and I am the most analytical guy, you know, on this show. I still think if you've got a power hitter, though, you want to give someone a chance to get on in front of them. If you've got a guy who's going to hit 30 home runs, you don't want 24 of them to be solo shots if there's no one on base in front of them. Give someone a chance to get on in front of Tatis instead of having him bat first, which those extra 60 at-bats are great. but give someone a chance to get on front in front of Tatis.
Well, that's not a bad idea. And AJ, let me ask you this. If Mike Schilt went to Xander Bogaerts and said, look, I know we've already asked you to move positions. We need to hit sixth or seventh in the lineup. How big of a blow is that? Would that have been to like your ego or anybody's ego? I know everybody's different.
But. I've had these conversations with Buck when I was struggling. He was like, hey, where do you want to, where we going to hit you there here? I said, look, I'm in the lineup. If I'm not swinging it, then put me where you think I hit. I mean, I deserve to hit right now.
Yeah, that's
good. You know what I mean? Ego aside, if I'm struggling right now and, say Trumbo is hitting better, let's swap us. Like, if me and Wieters is hot right now and I'm not, swap us. Like, you know, if do what you need to do at the end of the day. The goal is to win, and Schilt is great with talking to players.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's going to, you know, you've seen that firsthand. So it's not like he's going to blindside him and just be like, you know what, you're going to hit six. So it's just a conversation that can be had. It's not a hard conversation. It's a professional conversation. I'm like, hey, man, hey, I'm going to put you down here. I'm going to relieve you a little bit of pressure. No. You're going to have some guys in front of you. He's been a very good hitter in his career with men in scoring position historically. So maybe put him in some different situations. Hitting with men on base, I'm telling you, sucks. I mean, without men on base, sucks. With just solo, you just there by yourself, it sucks. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And especially somebody who's always had traffic in front of him, and they'll go lead off. Again, as a professional, you're not going to say, nah, I don't want to do that. And you're going to say, okay, I got you. But also, you know, it's a completely different game and mindset. So to do that, it's these are all new adjustments.
Yeah, changes
for Xander, for everybody. Exactly. I remember Manny didn't want to lead off, and I'm like, come on, dude. Buck was like, dude, we need you to lead off. And we didn't have any leadoff hitters in Baltimore. We were stuck in that kind of situation, and I was like, dude, I'll do it. I don't care. He was like, you could hit five times a game. I got a contract already. My performance is not going to dictate any more money for me. Manny's probably going through ARB. He's like, man, I don't want that. So I'm like, I'll do it. You think I care? Not a shot in hell I care.
I love it.
So I let off.
Xander shouldn't care anymore either.
Yeah, Xander got his bags.
First pitch fastballs. Hunt. Be more aggressive on
Let's
it.
Go Hunt. Yep.
We're out of time. I'm really glad that you were able to make good today after your flight issues yesterday. Glad United took care of you as well, according to your text to Paulie. And we will talk to you again next week, man.
All right, brother. Always good talking to you.
Thank you.
There he is, Adam Jones. Good connection. I mean,
great
it sounded like he was
today.
Right down the street.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes we have someone right down the street who sounds like they're in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Today we get Adam Jones in Barcelona, Spain, and he sounds like he's right next door, almost in studio. That's a good connection. All right, we are kind of halfway, plus a roundtable later today, but we'll come back. Reset everything. We got Dino Saris in our 8 o'clock hour, all coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just a reminder, Padres expecting large crowds this weekend when they welcome the Blue Jays to town. Very limited tickets are available for the 3-game series. You can visit Padres.com/tickets today. He was on a plane yesterday, but Adam Jones will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. California, yeah. I would guess. Now, as a baseball player, Adam Jones did a ton of traveling, obviously, for work.
Yes.
But just in the last, like, I would say, couple of years since he's been living in Barcelona, I bet he's been on more planes and spent more time in the air than I, you, and Paul have in our entire lives combined.
Easily.
The traveling man is back here with us, Adam Jones, on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing, man?
Always good. Yeah, you're right. I was just talking to my wife, and she's planning something else. Something else is always in the works. But you know what? Yeah, you only live once. I knock on wood. I'm fortunate I got a pension. And I'll get to that when I have to.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, yeah, see what you can when you can. Wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. And, you know, I have really enjoyed watching Padres baseball this season. So much more already in 21 games than I did last year. Last year was such a grind, man. And you know, we've already seen more from this team in just 3 short weeks. AJ, really, I feel like than we saw last year. It just is a different vibe and everything else. And they're winning games. They're coming back. Yesterday was a little bit tough to swallow. Runner on third, nobody out, can't get him in. Those games stink, man. When you're on offense, your pitcher has a game like King did yesterday. What do you say to him after that game?
Hey, somebody got to buy him a nice bottle of something. You got to.
Is that a thing?
That's what I would do. I'd be like, man, hey, Don, because 0-3, 0-4 in that situation. I mean, nobody had a good game.
No.
So you're just like, Doug, I'm sorry, man. Here you go. Here's a nice bottle of something, or just something simple, or pat on the ass, good start, meet it next time. You know what I'm saying? But it does suck as an offense when your starter goes out there and does something like that, or anytime when your starter goes out there, gives you a great quality start, and you have an opportunity to sneak a sweep, something like that. Like it just stings. But at the same time, you won the series. Take it and go back home.
Now, did they come to you after they give up 4 in the first and find a way to get through 5 innings, and you guys, the offense comes up and scores 9 runs and you totally bail them out? Do they
buy you a bottle?
Do they buy you guys all bottles, or how's that work? Or are pitchers just super sensitive?
You know what's crazy? It's like Wade Miley, you know, just went against him. He was one of the guys that would be like, oh, man, because we had him in Baltimore, and he wasn't good in Baltimore. He's been good every place else in his career, but in Baltimore, I mean, it was bad. But he would come up to us and be like, hey, man, my bad, dog, my bad, man. And I was like, hey, at least you made it quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least you work fast. I can deal with that. But he'd always be like, hey, my bad, man, I blew it, man. And some closers, honestly, would be like that. Would just be like, oh, man, it's my bad, man. I had that one in my, you know. And you know what? Hey, it's a team effort. You know, you don't want the guy to be like, hey, you know, oh, well. You know, you don't want that. You want him to understand that it's a team effort. And, you know, we put you in that situation. All we want you to do is do your job. It's like the kicker. It's a very, very tough job. Getting that 27th out is the hardest job, I believe, in damn near in all of sports.
No kidding.
So, you know, it goes both ways. You know, it's a mutual respect. We all want to win. So, you know, I'm there for my closer as much as the pitchers are there for us.
You know, it's funny you brought up the nice bottle, because I just saw this story yesterday that Yusei Kikuchi,
this is amazing,
who's coming to town with the Blue Jays this weekend, has this $3,000 bottle of Yamazaki Japanese whiskey. And every time he wins, he opens it up and then pours it for his teammates. And they have, that must be a nice post-game beverage right there. I've never had a $3,000 bottle of whiskey. Maybe Adam Jones has had a nice bottle of whiskey every once in a while.
My most expensive one was a Cognac Delamain Le Voyage, and it cost me $7,000 for the bottle. It came in that beautiful leather case. You have to Google it while I'm on the show. It is like absolutely beautiful. It was art. My brother mixed it one time. I smacked the hell out of him for that. Like, what do you don't mix this
What did
for?
He put in it? Like Coke or something?
I don't remember. Coke or something. Yeah, maybe Coke.
Oh,
or
no,
something
no, no,
like
no,
that.
No. Like, you don't mix that kind of stuff.
Ginger ale?
But in Japan, I've seen these bottles. And, you know, obviously Kikuchi's made a lot of money. And, you know, he's probably sponsored by Suntory, who makes these expensive bottles of Yamazaki. So I wouldn't put it past him. And especially being international Toronto, you can definitely find it. And, yes, it's some good stuff. But it is straight petrol.
Hi, Adam Jones is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. We've been talking about Xander Bogaerts, who is off to a really tough start this season. He's got a negative war. He's hitting 200, no extra base power. And yesterday came up in a key situation with the go-ahead run at third base, one out, and struck out in this game. And we just are trying to wrap our head around this. The position change, could that be part of it? With what's going on with him? When you did struggle, I mean, was there things that you would blame? Like, I don't think you ever had to make that giant position change that he's kind of going from short to second this year. Could that impact a player like him at the plate at the same time?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still an adjustment, and he's still getting used to everything. I mean, it's a complete change. And you can say he's a professional and all that, which he is, yes. But it's still a very, very big change for him. And, you know, again, he ain't going to make no excuse. He'll tell you, hey, I'm struggling. And that's the professionalism, because he's used to having success. And to be honest with you, I'm not worried about him. To me, it's just a matter of, you know, how's he feel? How's his body feel? To me, it's the health of everybody is always the most important thing, rather than what's struggling. And, you know, he's getting up there in age, and he's played a lot of games. So he's got a lot of miles on his body, which is a good thing to me. But, you know, players, we tend to grind it through things that sometimes we maybe need to sit down for, or sometimes we just struggle and need to figure it out. But being a veteran and being around guys like Manny and Tatis, obviously you got somebody older, somebody younger, to just keep them keep him young, keep him loose. You got Merrill. I think that it's just a matter of time before he's just getting hot, and we're just talking about this as, you know, as it always goes, is, you know, guys struggle, and, you know, it's just a game of baseball.
It is, man. Talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning, how much do we, as the casual fan, how much do we overrate maybe lineup construction in the year of our Lord 2024? I can go both ways. I really can. There's times where I'm like, no, this is the optimal lineup. And then there's times where I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, if guys are doing their job, you know, if guys are doing their jobs, it's not an issue, right? It's only an issue if it's not working.
I mean, the thing is what is the optimal lineup nowadays? I mean, when you go to analytics, they say the best hitter should hit where? If you hit leadoff, you guys hit six. The guy leadoff hits 60 more at bats than the next guy. The guy hitting second, you know what I mean? So it's like, do you hit your best hitter leadoff? Who's the best hitter? Who do you want to lead off? Who do you want to hit fifth? I've seen things where they, you know, some people think that for Harper, he should hit leadoff in that lineup because being he is a very aggressive hitter, but yet he walks a boatload. So he could be a great leadoff hitter, and he's going to hit 5 times a game on average. So would you want that? So hit Aaron Judge or Soto leadoff. It's what is your prototypical leadoff or your lineup? And I think it's constructed where you try to. So I think the Padres don't have the prototypical leadoff hitter. Who does anymore these days?
Yeah.
But, you know, I like speed, obviously, at top because you want the guys who in the RBI situations, you want them to get RBIs at all times. When they hit a hard ground ball, when Manny hits a hard ground ball to left field with a man on second, the guy should score. That's just, you know, the guy's in front of, that's how baseball works.
Who would you put up at the top? If you were Mike Shildt and they gave you the lineup card for the day and you know the particulars and the guys on the team, I mean, would you go Tatis? Would you go that wild Mustang in the front? Would you go Ha-Sung Kim? Would you go Jackson Merrill, the rookie with 21 games under his belt, that great bat to ball? I mean, there's a few options there. I mean, if you had the lineup card against the Blue Jays on Friday night, I don't know who they're throwing. Let's just say it's a right-hander. Throwing a right-handed pitch,
Rodriguez.
Was he right?
You want me to give you who I want, and I'm gonna say this because I love the way he plays, and I want Profar, and the Profar that I want is I want Winter Ball, Series Caribe Profar.
Yeah,
that's the kind of
that's the one they've gotten so far this season.
They've gotten him, man. Yeah, it's another option. I completely forgot him, and he's got
because he's a switch hitter.
Yep.
He's a switch hitter. He has some speed. He can run the bases. But I want the winter ball him. I want to bring back like that Eric Ibar type player. And I think he can do that. Obviously, he's not the infielder, but as an offensive guy, he can do all those things that Eric Ibar did. That is annoying as hell, but it was when he's on your team, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So,
it's a good call.
So, yeah, he sees a lot of pitches. He walks. The only reason why I think Profar is valuable down lower is because he's a switch hitter and they have limited left-handers. He helps break up the lineup wherever they put him. I'd go with Ha-Sung Kim. He sees more pitches than almost anyone in baseball. He's got that energy. He steals bases when he gets on. And I know that the metrics and the analytics, and I am the most analytical guy, you know, on this show. I still think if you've got a power hitter, though, you want to give someone a chance to get on in front of them. If you've got a guy who's going to hit 30 home runs, you don't want 24 of them to be solo shots if there's no one on base in front of them. Give someone a chance to get on in front of Tatis instead of having him bat first, which I those extra 60 at-bats are great. But give someone a chance to get on front in front of Tatis.
Well, that's not a bad idea. And AJ, let me ask you this. If Mike Shildt went to Xander Bogaerts and said, look, I know we've already asked you to move positions. We need to hit sixth or seventh in the lineup. How big of a blow is that? Would that have been to, like, your ego or anybody's ego? I know everybody's different.
But. I've had these conversations with Buck when I was struggling. He was like, hey, where do you want to, where are we going to hit you there here? I said, look, I'm in the lineup. If I'm not swinging it, then put me where you think I hit. I mean, I deserve to hit right now.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? Ego aside, if I'm struggling right now and, you know, say Trumbo is hitting better, let's swap us. Like, if me and Wieters is hot right now and I'm not, swap us. Like, you know, if do what you need to do at the end of the day, the goal is to win. And Shield is great with talking to players.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's going to, you know, you've seen that firsthand. So it's not like he's going to blindside him and just be like, you know what, you're going to hit six. So it's just a conversation that can be had. It's not a hard conversation. It's a professional conversation. I'm like, hey, man, hey, I'm going to put you down here. I'm going to relieve you a little bit of pressure. You're going to have some guys in front of you. He's been a very good hitter in his career with men in scoring position historically. So maybe put him in some different situations. Hitting with men on base, I'm telling you, sucks. I mean, without men on base, sucks. With just solo, you just there by yourself, it sucks. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And especially somebody who's always had traffic in front of him, and they'll go lead off. Again, as a professional, you're not going to say, nah, I don't want to do that. And you're going to say, okay, I got you. But also, you know, it's a completely different game and mindset. So to do that, it's these are all new adjustments.
Yeah, changes.
For Xander, for everybody. Exactly. I remember Manny didn't want to lead off. And I'm like, come on, dude. Buck was like, dude, we need you to lead off. And we didn't have any leadoff hitters in Baltimore. We were stuck in that kind of situation. And I was like, dude, I'll do it. I don't care. He was like, you could hit five times a game. I got a contract already. My performance is not going to dictate any more money for me. Manny's probably going through ARB. He's like, man, I don't want that. So I'm like, I'll do it. You think I care? Not a shot in hell I care.
I love it.
So I let off.
Xander shouldn't care anymore either.
Xander got his bags.
First pitch fastballs. Hunt. Be more aggressive on him.
Let's go, Hunt. Yep.
We're out of time. I'm really glad that you were able to make good today after your flight issues yesterday. Glad United took care of you as well, according to your text to Paulie. And we will talk to you again next week, man.
All right, brother. Always good talking to you.
Thank you. There he is, Adam Jones. Good connection. I mean, it sounded like he was right down the street.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes we have someone right down the street who sounds like they're in Antarctica. Yeah. Today we get Adam Jones in Barcelona, Spain, and he sounds like he's right next door, almost in studio. That's a good connection. All right, we are kind of halfway, plus a roundtable later today, but we'll come back. Reset everything. We got Dino Saris in our 8 o'clock hour, all coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.